Many denominations have what they call separation ethics. We're calling this a fond farewell, meaning that a pastor or a church is envisioning a much beloved pastor leaving their position and transitioning into the future that God has chosen for them, but allowing the church to transition into the future that He has chosen for the church as well. The PCUSA, the United Methodists, I, and just casual research, found about 12 denominations that have already done this before us. And the point is, older denominations recognize that this becomes a problem. We're just now recognizing in our own denomination, especially with the number of baby boomer pastors that are leaving, that this is an issue. And the bottom line is that it's to protect the ministry of the next pastor. It's to allow the church to transition into its future, because every pastor has a limited bandwidth for change. In other words, I'm trying to become a better pastor every year, but I'm still me. And culture changes, church needs the transition, and you can't transition if you're still living under the legacy or the vision of a previous pastor. And sometimes that's very hard to let go of if the previous pastor is there. It allows the church to move into its future, the pastor to move into its future, and it enables the next pastor to come in free of any burden of the previous pastor's legacy or the weight of their personality, and start anew and build relationships free of any interference, intentional or unintentional, from the pastor as they become the new pastor of that church. Now, two things happen. It's that the session primarily goes, well, I'm not going to tell the pastor that's been here for 20, 25 years that you need to get out of here. Because that's how it feels. You know, I'm telling you, you're no longer welcome here. You don't belong here anymore, which is not what's going on. But that's difficult. Pastor Bob married me, buried my parents, baptized my children. I'm not going to make that statement to them. And all too many pastors think to themselves, I won't be the problem. Because I'm not that kind of a person. I would never interfere with anybody else. And they actually see themselves as, well, I want to be supportive and I want to be encouraging. All you have to do is be physically present sometimes for, and by the way, so just very briefly, I went through this myself. I took over a church from a pastor who had been there 28 years, and I was not wise enough to know that I needed to make the session set some boundaries in my contract with them. And when I took over, the pastor did not leave. They had a retirement ceremony for him on my first day there. And then he was in the choir, sat in the front row of the choir every Sunday of my pastorate there. A lovely person. And it just, at my first Sunday, it's like I had three people come up and talk to me, and 85 people went over and talked to him. It's just, it's inescapable. And he didn't want to be a problem, but he didn't see himself as a problem, and he was a problem. So they say, I want to pave the way for the next pastor's success. In fact, I'll help the next pastor in transition, which is a deadly thing to say. But this is my legacy. I've been here for 10, 20, 30 years. I built this church. I planted this church. This is my legacy. I feel like I ought to be able to stay here. This is my entire social life. Everybody I know and value and care about is here in this church. You want me to go start all over again? You're going to make my wife or my husband start all over again? And where is a better place for me to use my gifts and serve than right here in this church where I've used them all along? Okay, it doesn't take a genius to figure out all these things are potential problems and barriers. Okay, so because we are, when am I supposed to be done now? In 3 minutes?
Theoretically.
Nice. So very quickly, let me explain this again. No, so if you'll take your document, this was originally a much more robust document. It was delivered to the MVC by one of our presbyteries. And the presbytery was fairly aggressive in terms of the parameters and the boundaries that it set. And that presbytery is going to receive this document, which are guidelines from the MVC, and probably strengthen it for its own presbytery, because they feel like this is the absolute bare minimum. There are loopholes in this you can drive a truck through. But it's something that needed to happen for a long time. And so it's a starting point for all presbyteries and all churches in this conversation. So there's an introductory paragraph. There's really no point in me reading. It's just kind of like when you do a memorial service and you read the obituary. It's kind of like, can't you all read? So I know you all can read, so I'll let you read it on your own. But it goes through explaining why we're doing this, how everybody benefits from this, who comes out the winners on this. And the most important thing are the guidelines on page 2 for a clean break. And it says in number 1, a pastor without a call to another congregation should ordinarily seek to find a new church home. Well, I wish the word wasn't ordinarily in there. I think it should say, unless under very special circumstances, which would be approved by the ministerial committee of the presbytery, a pastor should always seek a new home. Because otherwise, then it's sort of like, there's no teeth to this. So I'm not trying to insult the document. I'm just trying to give you an idea that these are our guidelines. And as guidelines, it's up to you to decide what's appropriate for your church and for the future of the church and for the health and well-being and success of the next pastor. I really don't see the point in reading a lot of this.
I would hit the 3 bullet points on the first page.
Meaning intentionality, collaboration, and clear communication. Let me say it this way. In addition to the 3 points that are on the first page, that a church session, the pastors and the session need to be very intentional about this, and they need to work together to come to an agreement and a covenant that everybody can live with. But if not everybody can live with it, who should win, the retiring pastor or the session?
Session.
And then number 3, clear communication. So I cannot state this too strongly, is that this might be difficult for a retiring pastor to agree to everything that the session wants in this process, but the retiring pastor is the one who must communicate this. As early as possible, they need to inform the session that I think I'm going to retire 2 years from now, 1 year from now, whatever. I have a succession plan, or we need to come up with a succession plan. And part of that is a transition plan, is how do we transition from your decision that you're going to retire, and it's going to be 12 months, 18 months, whatever. But you have to be very specific. You can't say, well, I'm thinking maybe sometime between the next 6 months to the next 6 years. I mean, even if you say sometime between the next 12 to 18 months, you have to have a specific date because everybody has to work concretely towards the transition. So whatever the transition point is, then the pastor is the one who has to say something like this. Hey, I want to let you all know that I informed the session that I'm planning to retire in 12 months. So this is going to be my best 12 months in the church. I want to let you know that I know this will be difficult for some of you. I've had the privilege of being your pastor for X number of years. I am so excited for the future of the church. I'm so excited that the church is going to have new blood, new vision, new energy, somebody with different gifts than me, that you all will be able to embrace and will be part of God's plan for what he's trying to do with this next church. I'm sorry, with this church next. And if the pastor does not lead with that initially, if the congregation does not hear that first and foremost out of the pastor, then there's all kinds of scuttlebutt that starts to float around. The pastor has to paint the positive future for the congregation of what's going to be good for them, rather than in any way saying, you know, poor me, woe is me, this is going to be difficult for me, we don't know what we're going to do. Well, you know, we've been told by the presbytery we've got to find a new church, and that's going to be so hard. And I mean, it doesn't take, again, a genius to figure out what a disaster that's going to be. So I'll let you read the document on your own. I will spend more time on this next time. Okay. And so you're up next.
Sounds good. And I just want to acknowledge again, this is a really hard thing. It is really hard to pour your heart and soul and your love into a community and then have to say goodbye. So if you are a pastor who is contemplating retirement or contemplating a transition and you anticipate that that's going to be difficult for you, I would invite you to be very prayerful and discerning about who the Lord might have placed around you to provide support and to provide a sounding board for you as you think through how to navigate the transition with grace for the good of the church. So at this point, I want to invite up two friends of mine, newish friends of mine, Pastor Fred Leon and Pastor Josh King. If you guys can sit over here. These two men have had the privilege of pastoring the same congregation. Pastor Fred is the former pastor of Grace Point Community Church in Littleton, not far from here. And Josh King is the current pastor of that congregation. And we thought, sometimes it's helpful to some degree to talk about these things in the hypothetical, but wouldn't it be great to hear from some people who have lived this? And so we have a few questions for Fred and Josh just to help us flesh out how this can look in your church. So my first question is for you, Fred. As you prepare to retire from Grace Point, what were two or three guiding thoughts that you had that helped you navigate that transition?
So, I have notes, because when you get to be my age, you need notes. I think you all understand that. Let me just say up front that through that process, I made mistakes. But the best decision I made was to communicate to the search committee that Josh was available. And so that's one of the victories that I came away with. Prior to becoming the pastor of Grace Point Community Church, I was a marriage and family therapist. I was with the EPC since its beginning in 1980. I was on staff of one of the five churches that started the EPC, and then became ordained. And through that, through being a marriage and family therapist, I had counseled with a whole bunch of pastors who were going through this transition period. So I learned a lot from having to sit and work with them through their own struggles and challenges, and also the joys that they experienced about finishing well. So when I got to my time, coming onto staff at Grace Point, where I was for 35 years. Similar to Kent, the founding pastor of the church stayed on as my associate pastor. He was 66 and a half years old, so he had 3.5 years before he hit that mandatory retirement age of 70. And we sat down ahead of time and talked it through. We both thought it could work, and it didn't. So for 3.5 years, I was, even though I had the title of pastor, I was looked upon as the secondary resource, not the primary resource. When he retired, we celebrated him, I think, very well. But when I came on staff, about half the congregation left. When he retired, another healthy percentage of the congregation left. And that was unfortunate, but I look at my ministry as having started about 5 years after I got there. So a couple of things that I learned. The first thing was, for many decades ago, I continued to reinforce in my own life that my identity was not as a pastor. My identity is a child of God. And so I was able to, and I think that came through all the counseling I did with other pastors who were struggling. When I retired, and moved on, it wasn't as though I lost who I was, because we never lose being a child of God. So I think that's the first thing that helped me get through this process. The second thing was, there's two elders here who were on session when I was still there, and you can confirm this, hopefully I'm not exaggerating anything. About 5 years before I retired, I began preparing the session and the congregation for that time. So we started talking about it about 5 years before I retired, and then in Bible studies, in sermons, and just easy dialogue with members of the congregation, I'd say, hey, this is coming up. Be aware, be ready. And that helped me prepare as well. So it was out there in front of me. So get it out, as Kent was saying earlier, get it out, make it specific as soon as possible, because you prepare yourself and you prepare the congregation. And then the last thing, my motto for about the last 2 years I was at Grace Point was, I want to end well and I want to finish well. And I kept concentrating on that. I'm going to end well and I'm going to finish well. And if you ever had the opportunity to read the book Necessary Endings, that is a really valuable book to help you move through this process. So those are the three things that really helped me.
Thank you so much, Fred. And now, Josh, as you contemplated coming on board as the pastor of Grace Point, what were two or three thoughts or feelings that you had going in, knowing that Fred had been serving there for 35 years?
Besides sheer terror, right? So, a lot. So I'll probably just rotate them through the different sessions, if that's okay, and we'll stick with two or three here. One is, how is it possible to replace somebody who's been a pastor for 35 years with one congregation? Yeah. How do you fill those shoes? What does it take? And I realized that was a completely impossible thing. My brighter moments, there would be some humility in that, and in my darker moments, just a whole lot of insecurity, right? And to think it's not even possible. And so I just want to convey to you, whether you are someone thinking of guiding a church, stepping out, stepping in, whatever it is, I was not called to replace Fred Lynn. Yeah. I was called to shepherd Grace Point Community Church. And so the important thing is to focus on God's call to shepherd that congregation, and not any sort of comparison, not any sort of striving to be something other than who God has designed me to be in this moment. Sorry, I lost my voice a week and a half ago. It'll probably happen this afternoon too. So that's the first thing, is just to have the clarity around that if God has called you to shepherd a congregation, that's the relationship that matters. The second thing is this, and I became pastor in June of 2020. What timing? There is going to be a void of relationship. If you have done a good job of pastoring, and Fred did a fantastic job of pastoring Grace Point Community Church, you will have built deep, intimate, abiding relationships. And when you step away, that's going to hurt. And there will be a great sense of loss. And there was. And I felt that coming in. I could feel that void. And part of the wisdom of the clean break is that everyone's going to feel that. And if the pastor is still there, that pain will drive them to that pastor. So you have to make space so that you can bond with the new pastor. And by the way, I am still, 3 years in, inadequate to fill that relational void. I just am. So one of the things I would say is shepherd your people towards each other. At the same time, you're shepherding them towards the new pastor. And I want to take a moment and just say, Fred, you did an amazing job. And I know it's the Holy Spirit working, but I will tell you. So the scariest thing I heard was, I think a year and a half before, maybe two, was the announcement face-to-face here at Presbytery, where I heard, we're looking for someone to fill Fred's shoes. Or no, to download Fred. Those were the words, to download Fred. That's what I heard. And I was terrified. I was like, that, I don't know who's going to take that, but poor them. Like, they are just, that is not going to be good. We call that person an interim pastor. That's who we're going to call him. But I will tell you, when I showed up at Grace Point, the Holy Spirit had done a work in that congregation, and they were ready for change. They were ready. So well done. The third thing that I'll share this time is I was really wondering, where are the sacred cows, right? And especially 35 years, if you have a set of cowboys in a particular field, There are going to be some sacred cows, right? And they're not even going to know where they are. I think you did a good job of trying to find them and kill them before I arrived. I appreciate that. We've still found a few. Coming into this saying, okay, it is actually going to be okay to offend some people. It's going to be okay. Not purposely hurt people, but to say this is something that I see that needs to change. And then knowing that people will not like the change. It doesn't matter how much you say, I'm ready for change, I'm ready for change, I'm ready for change. Again, not original with me. All change is processed or received as loss in some way, right? And so that's part of it. But just anticipate that. So there's three-ish.
Thank you, Josh. I would love to hear more and more from the two of you, but I want to transition to our Q&R time so that our attendees here have a chance to ask questions of you. Before we do that, though, I do want to highlight one thing in your packet. On the very last page at the bottom, you'll see two QR codes. One QR code, if you snap it with your phone, that will give you access to this document electronically if it's something that you would like to share with people in your church and maybe monkey around with and adapt to fit your circumstances. The other QR code is something I really hope you take advantage of. Kent and I very much, and the whole Ministerial Vocation Committee, would love to get your feedback on this session and on the content in the packet. So maybe not today, because we're just motor mouthing through this thing, but once you've had time to look through this material, the guidelines, if you could give us some feedback, that would be very helpful to us so that we know how we can be better equipping our churches and pastors. Okay.
Before you do that, can I say one thing really quick?
Of course.
I apologize, given the fact that I got cut in half again.
Always.
That one of the things that I really want to emphasize is this. It's hard on a pastor who sees this as their legacy to step down. It was never their church. It's not the new pastor's church. It's God's church. And so one of the burdens that a pastor takes on in coming into ministry, they don't know this when they're 20, 30 years old. And so one day you're going to leave your final church, and it's no longer your church, no longer your legacy that you're building, and you have to move on. And there needs to be enormous sympathy on everybody's part, enormous sympathy on the part of the pastor and the pastor's family who has to make a new beginning, or at least conceive of a new beginning. It's difficult on the church who has to let go of somebody they love and has been their spiritual director forever. And it's hard on the new pastor, as Josh said, who has to come in and figure out how to make this thing work. So the key to this is you have to set healthy boundaries, but you also have to demonstrate appropriate empathy and compassion for not just a hurting pastor and family, but also for hurting people in the congregation who, as hard as they try, go, yeah, I know we have to start over again, but I don't want to have to start over again. Can't you stay and be our pastor until you're 95? Can't you die in the pulpit, etc.? So just remember that that in this process, you have to be black and white on what you agree the boundaries are. You cannot be black and white on your compassion and your empathy and your understanding of all the hurt that's involved with everybody. And I think that's it.
Okay. All right. The other thing on that last page is a list of resources for retiring pastors. Highly recommend that. Every single one has been recommended by a pastor who's gone through this transition. All right, at this time we want to open it up for some Q&R. Yes, sir.
Kent, I have read that a retired pastor should leave the church for a minimum of 1 year and then perhaps they can come back. Is that erroneous? Or is that in any manner feasible?
Well, there is no, this isn't in scripture. Therefore, the bottom line is, what is the common wisdom on this? And those denominations that have stricter boundaries say, you move out of town. You can't move out of town. You immediately find a new church and you employ your gifts and your talents there so that you're not longing to go back to your old church that you found a new church home. And I do think that's crucial for pastors. You need to find a place where you can still use your gifts and talents so that you're not just sitting on them. But the general wisdom is, yes, a minimum of 12 months, or let's say 12 months, because you cannot be physically present. But the math, if you look at it in one of those pages in there, when a pastor leaves, you don't immediately find a new pastor. So it's the point is it's 12 months after the new pastor arrives. So let's say it takes 12 months to find your new pastor. You're talking 24 months. Yeah, okay.
Saw another hand.
Given all the emotions that are connected with a pastor leaving, and for the pastor's family, for the congregation, do you see benefit in having a transitional pastor step in to help navigate all those emotions while you're waiting for the new pastor?
I believe it is very critical to consider having the transitional pastor to be the sacrificial lamb. I'm with ministerial committee in our presbytery, and we've seen too many devastating effects of the person coming right following on the heels of a pastor who has not prepared the congregation for the next pastor to come, and they're gone after a year and a half. Josh came on staff 3 months before I retired. 1 month, was it? Okay. And so we had a little bit of overlap, but I really hope and trust that the congregation was prepared and that we just didn't have that type of comparison going on.
Go ahead. Sorry to yell if I could. I think, just if I could throw in 2 cents, if you've been able to prepare the congregation, that's different than if it was an abrupt leaving. I think that might have something to do with it.
A follow-up question to that. You're saying like if the congregation is kind of ready. So even if you have a transitional pastor, like what are some of the signs that the congregation is ready?
For
the new pastor.
Like they're in a healthy place
Like what's some of the signs that they're in a healthy place to receive the transition? Like what would you look for to be in place for them to receive
it? That's a great question. Right off the top of my head, you can really answer this more effectively than myself, but I think that they're looking for, now they begin looking in a healthy way towards who is God calling to be our pastor now, and that they've identified the sacred cows and have been able to put them on the altar and get rid of them, that they are recognizing that we are looking for a new vision, and that we're ready to embrace that new vision. That they're excited for the next journey that God has for them, and not looking to the past and saying, "Oh, I wish so and so was still with us because he or she would be able to direct us."
Yeah. If you can see the signs of mourning, they're not ready. If you see the excitement, anticipation, I think that's a good sign.
So wait a minute, let me answer that. So I'm going to say this differently. I think that the congregation can be ready for the transition before the pastor leaves. Because it's up to the pastor. And by the way, pastors, this is a hard burden to shoulder for many pastors, but it's up to the departing pastor to understand that his new primary responsibility is to help the church transition, not to enjoy his last year there or her last year there. Not to feel good about how they've ended things in the sense that, well, I feel good about me, but to understand that my primary responsibility is now short-term helping my church transition. And that's why not just once, but regularly, a retiring and leaving, departing pastor has to figure out ways to communicate to the congregation, this is going to be good for you, this is going to be good for me, I'm just so excited to see what kind of things God is doing. They need to preach sermons that are about transition. They need to talk about helping a church transition from the pulpit. There's a lot of things that the pastor can do, and the congregation can start to embrace and accept and transition into the transition if the pastor before he leaves does it correctly.
Just want to say one more thing and then I'm going to hand it back to Fred. You can actually, as a pastor, help warm your congregation up for your eventual departure. And one way you can do that is by engaging in a regular process of sabbatical. If you're in a church over a long period of time, and you take that every seventh year to have, maybe 3 months in the summer away to be refreshed by the Lord, that's going to help your people realize that they belong to Christ and not to you. So I think that's something to really consider.
And one more thing. About 15 years before I retired, I believe it was the Holy Spirit, just said, Fred, this is not your congregation. And so my vocabulary changed, because it used to be, I would say, my congregation, and then it became the congregation I pastor, or the church I pastor. So I was able to, again, make that mental break that was really critical. And my last sermon, May 31st, 2020, the last words I spoke to the congregation were these: that if Josh's sermons are better than mine, I want to hear that from you. If you liked my sermons better than Josh's, I don't want to hear that. I said, Josh is going to make changes. And if you like those changes, I want to hear that. If you don't like those changes, you go to session or you go to Josh. You don't come to me. And that has worked 99.9% of the time. And when someone wants to say something, and this has happened only about 4 or 5 times, they'll start to communicate something, and then they'll say, oh, wait a minute, you told us, don't tell you. I said, that's right. I don't want to know. Yeah, yes.
This will be our last question. Yeah.
What words of wisdom and advice do you have for a retiring pastor's wife?
Good. That's good. Words of wisdom for a retiring pastor's wife or husband. Yeah.
In my situation, it was harder for my wife than it was for me. And the wisdom that I would share is, make sure you have relationships outside the congregation. Find, and I would say this to pastors as well as pastors' wives, find hobbies, activities that you can use to fill your time that don't have anything to do with the congregation. And also make sure that your relationship with the Lord is so deep, so trusting, that's where you find your peace, your comfort, your security, not in the relationships that you had horizontally.
These guidelines don't say you can't maintain relationships with key people in the church. They just suggest that those relationships cannot exist at church, and they can't be dialoguing about the church. So these guidelines are realistic in understanding you shouldn't have to give up friendships. You're just not engaged in ministry in the church anymore. Okay.
Okay, I'm so sorry that we don't have more time, because I love all this interaction. I'm learning a lot from the things that you're processing. I do want to make one quick comment, and then I'm going to close this in prayer so you can move on to your next session. And that is, there is a note in our guidelines. We have kind of typical guidelines for what we're calling a clean break scenario, where the pastor is going to retire and move on. But we know that some of our churches choose to do a succession planning process that looks quite different. The bottom line is, again, that intentionality, that collaboration between the pastor and the session, and clear communication to the church staff, the congregation, so that everybody has the same shared expectations. All right, let's close in prayer. God, this time has been so rich, and we're so grateful for it. I thank you for all the brothers and sisters who've joined us, and I pray for your blessing on them, wherever they are in contemplating this process of transition. I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, with peace, wisdom, and grace, that they may glorify you no matter what chair they sit in, no matter what title they have or don't have. May they know and trust that they are your beloved children in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.